a very good Wednesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at the website, stevebick.com as well, on Derby Week Wednesday, midweek, 72 hours out from Derby, just 48 hours out from Oaks. And occasionally, when we get close to Derby, we get what we had today, which was another episode of the Crown Pride show. Crown Pride with a anticipated blowout work. And I'm not talking about, you know, a quarter mile just flourish down the lane. This was a half mile. And it actually came under Christophe Lemaire and his rider, as opposed to the exercise rider who's been partnered with him since his arrival here. If you're on the Crown Pride wagon, on the bullet train, as it were, I guess, you have got to be pleased. And if you were here to see it, I put the video up. I actually incorporated the big screen video while he was on the back stretch, and as he got to the head of the stretch and then went back up to it after he crossed the wire, he went in 46 and change. And I was hoping Mike Welch could join us, but he had to run to the back stretch, and so he's getting quotes and he's got a couple of things that he's got to do. So I don't know if we'll talk to Mike this morning, but we talked when he came back from the clocker stand, and 22 and change for the second half of the half mile. And yes, it was under a rider, and yes, it was on a racetrack that, of course, had moisture from yesterday and was really tight. But this was really sharp and really good, and what was different about it was he was not keyed up. He was taking the cue from Lemaire and was very relaxed and very responsive. And when Lemaire, I think I even say at the end of the little video clip I put up, Lemaire eased up on him as opposed to, you know, going around the turn, you know, for another, I mean, he did gallop out five furlongs in a minute flat. So, you know, it gets recorded as a half mile work, but, you know, you go a minute for 5/8, 3 days out from Derby, I mean, that's a significant work. But he didn't tear into the backside like he has a lot of mornings. He was very relaxed here, and I don't know what you do. This is a not a quandary per se, but a difficult equation. You know, you could be just defensive with him and incorporate him defensively, you know, kind of not knowing how he stacks up with this crowd, as well as, you know, what is going to happen in a field with 19 foes. And so, you know, how aggressive is Lemaire going to be early? You know, certainly this, by all rights, you know, if you split it up, 24 and change, 22 and change, that's, you know, that's a slower early, faster late. You know, that's the quote-unquote right way in which you want to see a horse work. You want to see them finish faster than they started. So all systems seem go. And it just as it happens, Mr. Shintani was right up on the right by where I was watching. The last couple of mornings, I've stayed close to the parlay, and I've just gone up to section 300 and watched from there, from mid-stretch. It's actually a good place to catch those little videos I've done. And Mr. Shintani was there, and he was very pleased. He was very, very pleased, as he should be. Mike and I were talking, and, you know, one of the things, if you think back to that trite expression that I included and I've said over the years that I heard literally the first time I was leaving a derby and heading home, and some DJ talked about his uncle or his aunt, even might have been his grandmother or something, and that expression that, you know, the fittest horse wins the Derby, the fastest wins the Preakness, and the best wins the Belmont. And it's, you know, one of those, you know, hokey, you know, old time axioms. But there's plenty of truth to it, you know, like any homespun wit. And if you just wanted to go by fitness and just say, I want the fittest horse, the horse that, you know, is showing that fitness more than any other, you know, or rely on the horsemen that you know have demanded fitness and drilled it into their charges, and that you know, that certainly is what you're seeing with Crown Pride. And frankly, as we've talked about Antonio Sano, same way. I mean, he's a guy that has his foot on the gas all the way. And, you know, one of the things that has, in some cases, held trainers and outfits back as they approached the Derby is the idea of, you know, making sure you get there. But when it comes to winning, your horse has to be at peak fitness, and you can't ease into it. And, you know, it's one of the things, too, that when we have the Triple Crown conversations, when we get to Belmont and, you know, some of the mistakes there that have been made over the years about, you know, not having, you know, basically easing off in those last 3 weeks after Preakness. Well, the realization came that at a certain point that you can't ease off. You don't ease into the Belmont. You have to, you know, absolutely keep giving them, you know, the same taxing, demanding approach that got you through Derby and Preakness, ideally, if that's the route and that's the way things go. Anyway, if you're looking for fit horses, there's two of them that you don't have to worry about. Then it's just a question of equating the Dubai races and where Crown Pride came from and watching his races. I was talking to KK this morning. KK said, you know, he rewatched the UAE Derby, and, you know, said he's on the wrong lead, and I just said, you know, my answer to that was Aladar. My answer to that is always Aladar. when anybody barks about wrong leads. But we'll talk to Sid. We'll see what Sid can tell us today about Reach the Crown, the sire of Crown Pride. And of course, Sid, over the last few years, King Kamehameha has come up plenty. Sid has talked about that's the, of course, the dam sire. So, Crown Pride is absolutely captured the fancy, the attention, the interest of everybody. It's been pretty fascinating during this Derby lead up. A few other quick notes from this morning, Taba, and as I mentioned yesterday, the wet weather was an issue. I mean, that was not an ideal circumstance to welcome the horses that had arrived over the weekend or by Monday. And so Taba, for instance, today had a little bit of himself of a 3-furlong blowout. The more relaxed, not 36 flat. It wasn't what Crown Pride did. But he did look good, and I haven't had a chance to put that little snippet up, but you can see it on the pre-show, on the work show that I'm sure they showed live. It was a busy session. It was kind of interesting that very few trainers sent their Derby or Oaks horse out early. There was a couple, I guess, that that went out earlier. I saw where Mike had mentioned who did he include? I think Epicenter. Well, you know, the Asmussen camp is famous for that. They're a 530 outfit, but there were a few others. Shahama too. Shahama, I think, went out early because I don't think I, you know, usually there's certain horses that even if you're just getting to know them and you haven't seen them over the winter, and certainly, you know, she is an example of that. Hell, Todd Pletcher didn't see her over the winter. but in fact, when you have a horse that's got a distinctive mark and she's got, you know, that big wide blaze. I mean, she's close. Horse ID people would have to weigh in on this. She's not bald. Is she bald faced? I don't think it. What's the distinction on being a bald faced horse? Does it have to go over a certain? Does it have to go, you know, over a certain part of the face? What, a certain percentage? I don't know. She's got a big blaze, though, and I didn't notice her this morning. Let me turn over my pad and see my notes. Team Todd, of course. It was busy to the point where I only wrote down some names that for one reason or another I thought were worth a mention here this morning. And Cyberknife, and in fact, there's a very nice piece in TDN about Al Gold and Cyberknife. One of the best parts of, you know, when you name a horse with something in mind, in this particular case, you know, prostate surgery, and, you know, Al is doing a huge service. This horse getting to this juncture, really a positive. And there's going to be a press conference tomorrow morning here, I think during one of the breaks. I don't know if it exactly when. I got to get that from Jenny or from Al or Brad Cox. But there's going to be a nice press conference again with the University of Louisville Health, which is very cool. So positive message being circulated via Al Gold, and positive signals from Cyberknife on the racetrack. He looks terrific. What, you know, one fancy that's caught my eye, and I've said this for 2 weeks now, that I didn't expect necessarily to be interested in cocktail moments, but she has looked tremendous. And then today, what I liked, as we inch closer to Oaks, 48 hours out, she was nice and relaxed today. She was not as frenetic and, you know, not as, and you know, there's a difference between, you know, high energy and being, you know, being a little too hyper. But she looked nice and relaxed today. Only further reinforcing my need to include her somewhere and somehow, cocktail moments. But the Oaks, you know, it's funny, sometimes you get here and your derby opinion gets shaken and gets, you know, you end up massaging it around. For me, it's the other way. The Oaks this year now, I have been so keyed in on Kathleen O, and my, I don't know, my confidence is a little shaken. I'll be working. Well, I've got a couple of things today, but I do want to start to write up the Friday card, and it's gonna be difficult now because I don't know. I may need to cast a slightly wider net. I'll make that decision here over the next certainly by Thursday. As we have in recent years, I'll try to get the complete Friday plays up by Thursday, and then the complete Saturday, and of course part of Saturday gets decided when it comes to the two-day wagers. So we'll try to get everything done for the Friday card personally tomorrow, and by early evening, and then the Saturday card by as early Friday as possible. And if I could do both, I'm actually pretty good on the Saturday for a change. So maybe I could even do both days. I will do my best. All right. A couple of minutes, actually. And now, Case, why don't you reach for Dale? We're going to get Dale Romans in here. And I've been saying that Dale has been edging back into the swing of things. Keeneland and the win yesterday, and feels like the barn is perked up after a bit of a boy, oh boy. A little Rumpelstiltskin-esque for they were just a little kind of sleepwalking for a bit. So we'll talk to Dale, and Dale's involved in a fundraiser tonight at Bellarmine. In fact, KK is involved in that too. So we'll slip that in. But I want to get Dale's Derby opinion, and he's got some horses. He's got a lot of horses running. He's got 10 horses Friday and Saturday, but can't come to Derby Oaks and not have a visit with Dale. We've got a, let me give you a quick rundown. Dick Powell, of course, we'll get Dick in for a few minutes and catch up on some Hong Kong. Maybe we'll get the, was that the seventh race? I looked away, haven't looked back at Hong Kong since earlier this morning. So maybe we'll get a play in from Dick. Sid Fernando, of course, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. We'll get Sid's Derby plays, and then at 10:30. You've asked, you've inquired, you've been eager, anxious, and today it can be delivered. Johnny D, the legend returns, back after way too long an absence, and I cannot tell you how thrilled I am that we can get Johnny back on these airwaves where he belongs, where everybody looks forward. And as I wrote this morning, not just his Derby opinion and maybe what he and Will Schwartz are going to do with their seven horse Superfecta box, which has been very successful over the years, but his irrepressible musings on life. And Johnny's had a reflective period, and I cannot wait. Just cannot wait to welcome Johnny back. We'll talk to Seth, get his final Derby, Oaks, and etc. thoughts. Maybe even some plays for today. On the turf, by the way, today. No problem on the turf. And that is good news. Weather-wise, Friday does not look great, to be honest. There's going to be rain for periods on Friday. That is certain. Saturday seems clear. It may not be a bright, sunny, beautiful day. It may not be, Chamber of Commerce Derby weather, but it should be dry. And of course, this racetrack famously dries and dries quickly. And you can be assured that they'll work the racetrack.
I'm going to walk down here trying to do this radio show. I'll watch from down
here. There you go. Behind the curtain, you can hear Dale walking to wherever he's going to go to visit. It's a pleasure. Yeah. It's a pleasure to have Dale Romans. Visit.
The horse with red saddle toe.
Dale Romans, good morning. Dale, put the phone up by your ear.
Come on, Phil, I got to do this radio.
Here he comes. What are you doing? Dale.
Oh, I know, yeah. I'm waiting until I stop losing.
Dale,
no, I feel like $1 million.
This is unbelievable.
The only times I told you this. Yep, get the weight up. I couldn't do it without the surgery.
Dale.
Hey. Hello.
Yeah, we're listening into we're listening into your backstretch conversations here.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to say something.
I've been saying.
Are we on the radio?
Of course, we're on the radio. What else do I do?
You're on mute. All right, what's going on, buddy?
Well, you know, first of all, I haven't seen you yet, but we will certainly see you over the next 3 days. Things have perked up in the barn, which is terrific. Saw you in Florida, and you're looking better and better. You're feeling good, and that's most important, first and foremost.
Yeah, thank you. I feel great. Yeah, we've got 95 pounds off. I'm about to hit the 100-pound mark.
Sweet. What so is there a goal
better.
In mind? Is there what you, this is under? This has got to be under some supervision, right? You're not just
now,
doing
I had gastric sleeve surgery. So they cut 80% of my stomach out. So there's really no goal. I just can't eat. Hey, Steve.
Wow.
Steve Asmussen just riding by. He said,
nice.
"Say good morning."
Nice.
Yeah. No, I had sleeve surgery done, and it's easy.
Nice.
So the weight, I don't know when it'll stop.
Well. It's a new and improved, and keeping you around is everybody's goal for a long time.
That's right. It's got me winning again.
Well, exactly. Maybe it's connected. Things absolutely have snapped up, and suddenly, you know, the horses are running.
Yeah, we're back in the game. We're running we got the babies back in this morning, and things are looking up.
Excellent. Well, before we talk about the ones, and you've got 10 horses entered Friday and Saturday, and we'll talk about some recent winners and some horses that, you know, over the spring may perk up and may be ready to fire. But let me first get your Derby opinion. This is a tradition that goes back to Carl Nafsker. Nafsker observations, and he used to deliver the authoritative version, the authoritative voice of Derby selection, and I'm turning to you for that this year on the backstretch.
Well, I'm going to tell you, overall, I think this is a solid group. We were just talking that most years you can go through and watch them train and scratch four or five of them off. I haven't been able to do that this year. Every one of them, even the long shots, look healthy and happy and like they're enjoying themselves out here. You know, you could say I'm a little bit biased, but I'm a big Epicenter fan. He's doing super. I think for a lot of reasons, I think Messier, yes, everybody has to keep him at the top of their list. And then the Japanese horse, Crown Pride. I haven't seen a horse train like he's training. But whatever the Japanese is doing, are working. I think in international races, they used to be a complete throwout automatically. Well, you can't do that anymore with their two Breeders' Cups wins, their win in Saudi, their four wins in Dubai. And that horse is training phenomenal, and he's going to be fit. Last Wednesday, I worked with him. I gave him a target to work
That's
at.
Right.
A nice horse, and he was working good. And my rider said he just ran by us like a train by a tramp. And he impressed me. And he went out and worked in 46 this morning. So, yeah, I think he's our long shot play.
The way things are going, and as much conversation as he's garnering, he may not be even that long of a shot. And Dale, you said something very interesting that I touched on this morning regarding fitness. And, you know, you've come so close with you know, your Derby starters. And one thing that I said is that the realization came along. Part of it over the years has been, you know, Baffert, who trains hard. And This race, your horse has got to be absolute at peak fitness, and a lot of horsemen, it seemed, kind of just wanted to ease and get the horse there. And explain the fine line between, you know, just doing enough to get there and having the pedal down and getting the peak fitness on first Saturday.
Well, you know, you're walking a tightrope. And that's what's another thing that's been impressive with Crown Pride is that he's walked that tightrope and he still looks very sound. But, you know, you go back to the old guys. We were just talking about the way Woody Stevens used to train in the Derby. He'd work on Saturday, work on Thursday before, and they work every 5 days. Alan Jerkins was one of my great friends, and he told me one time, he said, a horse is naturally not going to go a mile and a quarter to a mile and a half, which they have to do in the Triple Crown. You have to teach them to. And those guys trained totally different than we do today. They really pressed on him. I'll give you an example. Leroy Jolly was a great friend. He was in the barn with me at Saratoga the year we won the Travers. And we were standing out there. He was going to work, and Leroy told me, he said, tighten the screws on him this time. And he worked, and he went 59 flat and did it the way a horse is supposed to. He said, you just won the race right there. And that was before we upset American Pharoah. He said, because you didn't play around with him. You put him on the fence, and fitness wins races. So it's going to be interesting the way they've trained this Crown Pride, and you know, he's coming out of a mile 3/16th race in Dubai and beat 16 horses. I think those are two key things going into this race. That's what makes me worry about, you know, a couple of the horses with 2 and 3 starts, even though he's only got 4, but some of them got 2 and 3 starts. It's so difficult. You know, how do you get that foundation under you to go on and win?
Actually, touch on that, too. That's a very nice, sidebar to this. When we say, you know, the Taba making a third start and Charge It making only a fourth start, Zandon, you know, the horses that, Zozos, you know, these horses that are only making what might normally be their Breeders' Cup Juvenile start, or if they run into, you know, November, December, maybe a post-Breeders' Cup start, the third, fourth starts. Explain what a lack of seasoning, how it hurts a Derby horse.
Well, first of all, they've never gone a mile and a quarter. So, you know, you've got to have a fitness foundation under you. And they've never run against 20 horses, which is a whole different thing. That's more about in the mind than anything. You're going to get in trouble in Kentucky unless you're on the lead every step of the way, which you're not going to get an easy lead. You're going to have to be pressed, and you're going to have to be a really good horse to go wire to wire. Then you're going to have horses. You're going to have to go through horses or around horses, and you're going to have traffic trouble. And it's to me, it's just very difficult. 1890s the last time a horse won the Kentucky Derby off two starts. And these horses are going to get a lot of play. But with that being said, you know, in the last 10 years, all the old rules kind of went out the window.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, actually, it's not just the last couple of years with Justify and so forth, but also you go back even to Funny Side, when there hadn't been a gelding since 1929, and there hadn't been a New York bred since God knows when, 18 something. So those things all, to me, I used to talk about those years ago, and when I first started, you know, formulating my approach to Derby, I believed in some of that stuff, and then I realized it just doesn't. It's a lot of it is happenstance. I mean, the reason there's no horses, there haven't been horses winning in their third start in the Derby, is because the way to get into the Derby for the last 50 years has been graded earnings. Well, if they hadn't accrued the earnings, and then if they hadn't accrued the points, they couldn't get in. So that eliminates a wide margin of them.
Yeah, you're right there. So, but it's still going to be hard for me to play one, even if they're in there. I just think seasoning and fitness is going to play out. But you remember, there was a time you wouldn't bet on a horse that didn't start at two.
Yep.
And now that's been debunked. So it's a different Kentucky Derby than it was 10 years ago.
Well, and it's a different Churchill Downs too, and the Downs continues to, you know, morph and change. And when I walked in this morning, it's funny. This morning, instead of coming in the front, the main gate over, toward Central, I actually came in through the clubhouse side, along first turn, and there's still sections there, Dale, that remind you of the old building. It's like sort of the last vestige, frankly, of this building.
Oh, yeah.
The place just continues to change. Some thoughts about where we are overall, you always at this juncture have offered some thoughts about the state of the game.
In Kentucky we're going strong. The state of the game, the state's working. The state itself is working to make racing better and better. I got Senator Damon Thayer with me right now, watching his horse train. He's done nothing but help us get racing going the right direction. To me, racing's going good. I think the HISA thing is going to be a complicated thing that we got to work through with the federal government starting to oversee racing. But as far as the state of the game, I mean, gambling's up, viewership's up. If you were back here on the backside today, you'd realize that a lot of people love this game. Churchill's making a $200 million investment starting the day after the spring meet here. We're going to run out of temporary paddock Derby next year, but Derby 150 is going to be a big day. Well, I just think we're going the right direction. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed, but that's in any industry, and we got good people working to fix them.
Speaking of HISA, I should slip in the news from yesterday that they did announce a partner in terms of developing what they're going to call the Integrity and Welfare Unit. In other words, the testing and the whole lab and that portion, the policing side of their work, and it's called Drug Free Sport International, which is a long-running operation that has actually got relationships in a bunch of major professional sports. In fact, it feels like a much wider organization, Dale, than what USADA with the Olympics and boxing. This is an organization that works with the NFL, the NCAA, the NBA, golf, NASCAR, and baseball. So they're gonna formulate a program. We'll do more on that after Derby. Yeah, and
definitely a top group, though. I mean, it just sounds like they've landed in a good spot.
Yeah, agreed. Speaking of some good spots, yesterday Nighttime wins that allowance under Joel. Great, good way to start the year.
It's a good way to start, Churchill. And for Mark Holliday, the chairman of NARA, and my good friend. So that was good. We'll probably point him towards the True North the day before the Belmont. And he's one of the better horses I have in the barn. I think he's the type of horse can go on and do anything. He had a good year last year. We got beat a Whisker at Saratoga, and the horse that beat us came back and won the Breeders' Cup Sprint. So we've been running with good company.
Well, another five-year-old as well in the last couple of days. And, for a horse that's won $300,000, people kind of scoff all the time at Dennis's Moment. When is his next win going to come?
I thought he was going to win over Keeneland that day. But he'll win next time we run him here. He will.
I love it. I love it. Let Dale.
Yeah, he's the most famous $300,000 earner in the game.
Well, I got to talk to you now about where you stand into the weekend. You got two of the stakes represented in the La Trienne Temper Time with Tyler, and then Joe Talamo on Howling Time, who you finally are going to seemingly turn back and keep at one turn.
Well, I don't know. I'll keep him there, but I'm going to go there right now, and we'll see what happens. Howling Time's a good horse. Another Not This Time. One day we're going to sit and just talk about Not This Time, what he's doing in the stud barn. But, he's got two Derby starters. He's got one on also Eagles and one running in the undercard race. I mean, he's just been a phenomenal sire. And we talked about that back when I had him, how good he would be. Yeah. But how many times going to go on and do well? Maybe shorten him up and he might stay that way. We'll see how he runs. We'll see how he runs in this race. And then our filly, Temper Time, I mean, she's won her last two starts and she's doing good. And we jumped in with the Big Fish. But it's a small field, grade one. If we can beat third, I'd be happy we get some grade one black type. But if you think you can beat third, anything can happen.
In addition to the two stakes runners, you've got the three-year-old Jag Warrior, a Shackleford filly. That's got to be fun to have this chestnut. And she's going to try to break her maiden in the, in the nightcap on Friday.
Yeah, all right. But more fun than that is, she's a full sister to Promises Fulfilled.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty cool. And, I got a call this winter. She hadn't run real well, and I think some of the partners bailed on her, and so they sent her down to Florida, and we've just been fooling with her. I don't expect her to run well. She's doing very good.
I love it. Who else, of the allowance, you've got a number of allowance runners. Friday, Southern Passage, Compelling Smile, Family Time, and Cancel This. Who do you like best on Friday?
Yeah, which one of my children I like the best? You might as well ask me that.
Well, we know it's Bailey. I mean, it's not even...
We know it's Bailey, right. I think I have gone on record on your show saying that Bailey's the one I like the best. She doesn't yell at me as much as Jake. No, they're all doing well. They're doing good. I don't know that I'll run Southern Passage if it doesn't come off the grass, but I put him in because there's a lot of rain. If he comes off, I'll run him. If not, I'll probably wait on him. Cancel This. She worked really well over here the last couple of times. If you're going to make a long shot play, that'd be mine. Cancel This.
Very good. And let me ask you about that Curlin colt for the Albaz that is a four-year-old. Took a long time to get Curlin Lane to the races.
Yeah, he came in a little late. He had a little issue on the farm. He ran a couple of subpar races, but he had a little issue with a back leg, and we got that fixed up, and he's been working really well. I mean, it's a good race, and his foreman is good, but I think he's going to do a form reversal.
Any? What about finally Red Knobs runs in the fourth?
Red Knobs has disappointed me the last couple of times, and but he just worked so good the other day. I thought we ought to give him one more chance, and so we put him in, and hopefully, you know, he ran 2/3 stakes over here at Churchill, and good stakes. So it's a little class drop for him on a track he likes.
Very nice. And I didn't ask you about an Oaks horse.
Yeah, I'm going with Asmussen in the Oaks. I think to make her third choice, everybody jumping off of her, you're going to get a couple points more than you probably should. You know, I don't know. I haven't talked to Steve about it, but I know he kind of got a late start on her and probably had to run her a little earlier than he would have liked to at the fairgrounds, and she still hung on and won. And you're making the undefeated 2-year-old champion Philly third choice. So, value play. I'll take Echo Zulu.
Echo Zulu for Dale, and then Epicenter on Saturday.
Epicenter and Messier, either one of those on top, and keep my ground pride in there with them.
Well, you know, there is another not this time. Simplification, you can't...
Simplification, it would not surprise me at all, because he's a horse, if you watch the Florida Derby, he took all the worst of it. They pressed
Correct.
Him all every step of the way, and the good horses pressing him ended up way back in the field, and he kept on hung on for third.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's the only reason I didn't mention him. I couldn't think of his name, to tell you the truth, a minute ago. I don't have to face him. But I do like him, too.
I love it. Dale Romans, everybody. Romans Racing on Twitter. And, Dale, I will see you as early as later today, or certainly, you know, by Friday.
All right, buddy. Always good. Talk to
I
you later.
I appreciate it. Dale Romans, folks, and... too much fun and lots of insights. There you go. And of course he's, you know, the not this times, because he trained not this time. And when Dale says that he absolutely, I suppose he said this about all the stallions that he's made over the years. But he guaranteed, he said that not this time. In fact, if we could dig through the piles of audio of all the Dale Romans appearances, I guarantee that there was a guarantee from Dale. And you know, I didn't go through the tick list with Dale about his Derby starters, but sharp humor, and of course there's kind of a personal connection with me and Dale and sharp humor, and that was memorialized in the first Saturday in May movie. Then third with Patio Prado, fourth with Shackleford before the Preakness win. Doolahan, third. He had Metal Count, eighth. Keen Ice, seventh. Brody's Cause, seventh. And then the most recent ones actually have not done as well as that group did. J-Boy's Echo, Promises Fulfilled, who was a sprinter. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Promises Fulfilled qualified for Derby, but he certainly distinguished himself as a sprinter. Then Free Drop Billy was in that race, too, and Attachment Rate 2 years ago. So Dale looking for a Derby runner for next year. Dick Powell standing by. Dick, good morning.
Steve, is a little wet down there, or how is it?
It's fine. It's fine. It's an overcast, breezy day, and we're clear now. Friday, it seems impossible to avoid some inclement weather on Friday, but after that, we should be okay. And I trust this, you know, this racetrack to dry. I think you'll be fine for Saturday.
Good.
But Friday, you better be prepared for some wet weather. That I don't. At this point, it looked like maybe it was avoidable, but it doesn't look avoidable now.
Yep.
So, FYI, tomorrow we'll know more, right?
Yeah, getting close.
And Dick, you know, we're always, every year we get to this visit, and we always are a little bit in an awkward state, because your full analysis is available at BrizNet. No, you told me it wasn't going to be there this year.
It is not.
Well, then, start pontificating.
I like the race. I think it's very challenging. It's going to be, I think as far as data points, we probably have the fewest data points in the 2022 season for the 2022 Derby to look at. Fewest starts, you know, fewest races, not a lot of patterns. If you catch a bad track or a bad trip, it looks probably worse than it is if you only have two starts coming into the race. That said, there's probably eight horses that are within a point of each other, no matter what scale you use. I mean, no one's really separated themselves, with the exception of the two California horses, the Tiber and Messier. They ran on a fast track at Santa Anita and ran a fast number, and they are a little bit faster than the others, but not by much. And then among the others, the first two in those major prep races are all serious contenders coming into this race. So that doesn't help pick a winner. Just makes it a little more hard to pick a winner. But having watched all the races and having paid very good attention and continuing to watch as much stuff as I can, I don't think Chad Brown got enough credit for having good magic ready for the 2018 Derby. But the horse ran spectacular. He just happened to run into a Triple Crown winner. So, Chad, yeah, you can paint him with the turf brush, but he's won a Preakness. He had good magic primed and ready to go on the first Saturday of May, and I think he's going to have Zandown primed and ready to go on this Saturday. His four races have all been good. An excuse in the Remsen, kind of a nutty trip in the Risen Star, and then the Bluegrass, he got a kind of Kentucky Derby trip where he got shuffled back. He's in between horses. He split horses and then just finished up super strong and won the Bluegrass going away over a very good horse and Smile Happy. So me looking at the races, I think that prep comes up the strongest subjectively and objectively. And I think Zandon, drawn post 10, Flavian Pat, there's nothing not to like. He will be back, hopefully not too far back. I'd love to see him try to save ground the first turn and then the second turn. Don't even worry about how wide you need to go. Well, you don't want to go wide both turns. Flavian rides the dirt like it's turf, so he does save ground. And I think he fits this horse very well, as he showed in the Bluegrass. So Zandon is my pick, if there is one. Not the greatest price. Now, the interesting thing is, all along, Jim McInvale indicated he was going to make this big $3, $4 million bet on Epicenter, but part of that was the thinking that Epicenter would be the favorite,
right,
coming off his win in the Louisiana Derby. Well, now, based on the morning line, Zandon's going to be the favorite. So does Jim make that big bet on Zandon? I think he's going to wait for the Oaks double prices to come in and see who the Derby part of that bet is the favorite, and I think that's where his money's going to go, and that most likely is going to be Zandon. So, Zandon 3-1 morning line, does he get knocked down another point or a half point because of the McInvale money? You'd hope not, but at least Jim's letting us know ahead of time what he's doing, and we can act accordingly. But regardless of the price, Zandon, to me, is the horse to beat. My horse for value that I'm not putting him strong in the win position, but I think Smile Happy is going to run huge. He was terrific at two. Kind of reminds me of Super Saver, a very good two-year-old, and then had a couple things go wrong in his first couple of starts at three. Super Saver got beat in the Ark Derby by Lina David, came back and won the Kentucky Derby. smile happy, risen star, didn't get the greatest trip. The bluegrass, he's 4 or 5 wide almost the entire trip, surged to the lead in the deep stretch, and then couldn't withstand Sandon's late rally. But considering the ground loss, it was a very good effort. The ground was wet that day. It was listed as good, so he was able to handle, the two of them were able to handle the track with moisture. And he's been pointed for the Derby, so I don't think Ken has had the screws tightened too much. He did have kind of an awkward workout the other day in company, pretty far behind his stablemate. But
yes,
when you watch the workout, I see a horse who got a lot out of the work. That it wasn't conventional type workout. But it wasn't like someone cut him off and he had to pull up and didn't get a full 5 furlongs in or anything. And he probably went, you know, 6 furlongs in 13 and change 14. So I thought the work was fine. He continues to gallop well. And I think Ken's bringing in a fresh horse who has upside. Some of these horses, we've already seen their upside. I think Smile Happy still has upside. So the two keys for me are Zandon, Smile Happy underneath him, and then ones to beat and ones to include are Messier, Charge It. It's another one, lightly raised, big ceiling, beautiful pedigree. Todd has him in the right spot. He gets Luis Saez. I'm the biggest Luis fan out there. So I think they will be very, 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 very tough. And then Epicenter down towards the inside with Joel Rosario, who should be able to weave, see what the others are doing, certainly save ground on the first turn. And if no one wants to press, maybe Joel just goes on and says, hey, here's where I am, try to catch me. And I think he will be very tough in that forward position.
That, I tell you what, that's a nice set. Zandon, Smile Happy, Epicenter, Charge It. That's a nice four pack. The Smile Happy, I've said for a couple of weeks now that the Smile Happy scares the daylights out of me, and it's funny how, not that the star has fallen, but I mean, here's a horse who's been, has won 2 races and has been second twice. And he's like, he was the winter Derby favorite, and he's like shuffled down the list. Nobody's even paid attention to him. It seems a little too result oriented, as Andy says. Don't hang every hat on the win peg. This is the end goal on Saturday, and Ken McPeak has shown the ability. Hasn't won this race, but he certainly has had his share of live horses, and he's had plenty of success, getting ready for spots.
Yeah, and he's done. You watch the bluegrass, and Corey had no choice; had to have him outside. Never had a chance to drop in, just kept him out there, kept him relaxed. Still surged to the lead in the stretch, couldn't hold off Sandon, but ran a very good race while losing ground, and that can get held against him. I think too often in these races, Steve, it's all about the narrative, and I don't care about the narrative. I don't care about this guy's going for his 12th win, all that stuff. So, in football, they really need to win this game. Well, that's a false narrative. So I avoid the narrative as best as I can. Look at the horses, look at their performances, try to compare the performances. Unfortunately, these horses don't race against each other in the sense that we really don't get to frank the form with a subsequent race before the Derby to see, well, that race turned out to be pretty strong because so-and-so came out of it. We just don't get that anymore with the 2 preps and everyone kind of going their separate ways.
And that actually came up a little. It's come up plenty. I mean, it, just in reference to the experience factor that's involved. And I just had that, just touched on that a little bit a while ago with Dale Romans. I'm just looking, because I've now done this. I did it with Dale, and he brought up Chad. And two things. When you bring up trainer's records, I mean, a lot of people, I see people saying, oh, well, Asmussen's 0-for. Okay, when you look through the horses, the same thing with the Pletcher record. When you look through the list of horses that Pletcher and Asmussen have brought to the Derby, and you know Todd before he broke through with his wins, they were horses that had no business being considered classic candidates, and to some degree, McPeak has a little bit of that too, because Harlan's Holiday, middle distance horse, Noble's Promise was a sprinter. He finished fifth. My man, Willie Martinez. Jabba's War, Frack Daddy, Tejano Run, of course, his first Derby starter, Kenny, a good second behind Thunder Gulch in 95. And, you know, Chad's record is actually outstanding thus far. I mean, Chad's brought six horses, and other than in 2016 with My Man Sam and Shagoff, Normandy Invasion was fourth, Practical Joke was fifth, Good Magic, of course, second, and even Highly Motivated ended up ninth. So Chad's had top half finishes and, three pace slots, if you consider the super high five with the fifth. But, I'm like you. I remember writing a piece for Derby Trail, Dick, about Bobby Frankel, people dumping on Frankel being 0-for-30, I think 2 or 3 in the Breeders' Cup. And when you went through and you started looking at what odds they were, the horses that he brought to the Breeders' Cup, when he was 0-for-33, he had exceeded expectation. He had had a whole bunch of board hits with horses that were 20-to-1, 30-to-1. So these snap narratives are just, they're pointless.
Well, they're racing version of hot takes, and hot takes seems to be what TV wants, and they just go right by me. But I think it's a real good Derby. I'm kind of violating rule number one. If you have 8 evenly matched horses, you're certainly not going with the shortest price. But I think the shortest price has the best chance to win.
There you go. All right. There's the Derby opinion. What about Oaks?
Oaks, I'm a little worried with Kathleen O. I don't really... I think she's kind of drag-shugged to the Oaks. I mean, she just keeps running these gigantic races where you can't back off of her. And so now here they are, and she had a big forward move in the last race. So, boy, I don't see that happening again. Now, if it's wet, Shug is always dangerous on wet tracks. You won't see it necessarily in breezes, but if it's raining out, Shug's horses usually get out. And they'll go out and gallop, and they're used to wet tracks. So that's a big advantage Friday if the track is wet. So I wouldn't discount it for that reason. I think Todd's horse is going to be super tough, Nest. And I think it's just coming into the race perfectly, pace-prompting running style. There is speed in the race. And I think she will be tough. I'm a little negative on Shug. And then I think Wayne can bounce back off of that Arkansas Derby.
Secret Oaks.
Trained well 59 and 113, and that race didn't seem to take much out of her. And I had no problem with what he did going into that race. I would say $1.25 million, take a shot, no problem. I think Hidden Connection has always been like right below the surface. I liked her in the Breeders' Cup. Disappointed that day when Echo Zulu dominated. I don't know if Echo Zulu is going to dominate this time. So I would say Nest, and for a price, I would go Yaguri.
She could carry them a long way on the front end. In fact, where's my pace pages? All right. So here, let me.
Yeah, and I like that thing you put out yesterday with the pace. At least for the Derby, I saw the possible pace scenario. Yeah.
That's Timeform US, and that's based on CJ's pace figures. Actually, I should also mention, last night at about 7 o'clock, I think, 6:30, 7 o'clock, the Thoroughgraph, for Thoroughgraph full sheets and full information came out yesterday evening. I did the printing work and the assembly of the ream of paper that I've got my this year's binder. Yeah, buy a binder every year for Derby Oaks. And it's funny, then they sit there and they become, you know, an archive. I've always pretended that I was going to go back, Dick, and you know, do deep dives into my Derby Oaks archives, but they'll remain until Tina, you know, until Tina forces my hand, I guess, to to get rid of them. But you can download now for Friday and Saturday's full full, not analysis, the analysis for Oaks and Derby. Jerry's audio visual seminar is up too. That's available. That came out Tuesday night. So $25, and it's money well spent, because not just because you get Jerry's insights, but also the way in which he breaks down the individual horses. And so if you're fairly new to, you know, sheet methodology, Thoroughgraph and Ragazin, you get insight into pattern and what, you know, what they mean, and you know, particularly when it comes to horses that may potentially be sitting on a forward move, usually, or an explosive forward move. Usually the Derby winner does not make a substantial jump forward. It's usually a horse that has already established a certain performance level and then essentially pairs up that performance. And in some cases, even regresses slightly off that top performance. So you, reading Jerry's analysis, you get real insight into, you know, looking at sheets, the way sheets basically project horses into races. And that's... You know, that's been my since Thunder Gulch, since '95, when I discovered Thoroughgraph and Jerry Brown.
And he did something new this year with he has all these tables with the horses who've had two preps, three preps, four preps, how they do pair, new top pair, regress,
yes,
you know, X, and he added a whole bunch of new stuff. I think he has now 15 tables of information. He analyzes it. It's really good. It's what you would expect from Jerry Brown.
He's amazing, and constantly looking to improve the product. Dick, before we quickly touch on Hong Kong, what other races are you looking forward to? And anything that you've already noticed?
No, not really. The first thing is the purse structure. It's just, holy mackerel. You look at Friday and Saturday's race. Wow. Like Friday, first race, Godolphin, three-year-old filly. She raced at Aqueduct April 7th. Before that Belmont. She's not at Belmont. She's at Churchill Downs. $127,000 for first-level allowance. I mean, that's hard to compete with. Even with 90, that this race would be 95,000 in New York, and 127,000 down there, and even bigger races with the allowance. And that race yesterday, that what's his name, Lone Rock?
Yes.
Yeah, that was like 160, and yeah, the purse level was phenomenal. I looked at the card. I won't do anything till Friday, Saturday, and when odds start coming out and things like that. But it is overwhelming, and I'm not doing Here's the thing. When you don't do the brisk thing, the mental excuse is, well, now I'm going to have all this extra time to do all these other things that I can't do when I have to write up 4,000 words. Well, now we'll see if I take advantage of all that extra time. I don't know. We'll see. I know at the Derby, I'll probably pay more attention than I ever have.
Well, good. All right. Well, if there's anything, if you've got anything that you want to jot down, and even if it's just just spot plays or anything, I'll put it up at the website at the races.
Definitely do that.
I appreciate it. Let's quickly catch up on the Hong Kong from the weekend, and I've been kind of just letting it play in the background. They're on the all-weather, the all-purpose surface, and there's been some nice prices actually through the card today.
Yeah, we had one turf race that they wanted to run this one race for horses that had been in Chung Pa that couldn't get out. And so they ran one turf race, 8 all-weather track races, tracks pretty fast. One thing with all-weather racing, Steve, post position is not that important. When they go two turns, we already saw a horse tonight win from 14. You'll see horses regularly win from the outside. It's not like a Happy Valley where the really tight turns and gotta get down and save ground. So the all-weather is pretty fair. It's also pretty fast. The running times are very, very quick, sometimes faster than the turf sprints at the other two tracks. So we're on the all-weather tonight, and the betting has been pretty spread out. Last race, we won that Apache Pass with Derek Lung and Peter O'Sullivan. This week, pay attention, we're at Sha Tin Friday night, Saturday morning. So we're a day early on the weekend. So Friday night, Saturday morning, 10 turf races from Sha Tin. That'll take you into Saturday morning when you get some nice European racing. And then Churchill opens, I think, at 10:30 Saturday morning. So
10:30, yep.
You can just keep going and going and going right up until the 13th race, because you got two after the Derby, the 14th race. So.
Yep.
Got a lot of racing coming up. No big feature race this coming Saturday, but last week the feature race was a Group 3 mile and a half Queen Mother Memorial Cup won by Senior Toba. And the interesting thing here, Steve, is he's a four-year-old, and he goes on to win a Group 3, and we've now seen the four-year-old crop that went through the mile and the classic and the Hong Kong Derby. And now they've gone into group company and have done extremely good. So that crop of four-year-olds looks very, very strong. The racing in Hong Kong needs that kind of depth and quality, and they're certainly providing it. So Senior Toba got a big weight switch from Butterfield, and they'll meet up in 3 weeks in the Champion and Trader Cup going a mile and a half. But nice win for him, and... it just looks like a really bumper crop of four-year-olds that at various distances that have come out. Last Sunday, rain, all the running times at Sha Tin were extremely slow, more than a full second slow. And then the week before at Happy Valley, all the races were faster than normal when they upgraded the track to good to firm. A couple races left tonight, race 8. I like the 1, Kaiying Master, the 7, Lightning Bolt, and the 10, Flying Dragon, 1, 7, 10. And if you want to play a double, I like the 1, King's Shield, high weight, 133 pounds. 4, Money Catcher, Derek Lung going for another win on a night for the Red Hot Frankie Law trainer. And then the 7, Red Desert, John Size. And Wagner Borges. Now, John Size is the second leading trainer, and yet he has 13 wins in 9 seconds with Wagner Borges. They're kind of an under-the-radar trainer-jockey combination that hits pretty often. So 1-7-10 in the eighth, 1-4-7 in the ninth.
Excellent. A couple more at Jatin and Dick. We'll be doing the recapping and hopefully the celebrating. There's always a little bit of wound licking and a little bit of celebrating when we do the postscript. So I hope there's a lot more celebrating than licking of wounds.
Best thing about winning the Derby is no matter what the price, they show that replay Saturday evening on all the news 50 times every time your horse wins. I don't care if it paid $4.
It's true. You get
to celebrate over and over and over. So it's well worth it.
Really, the rest of your life. I mean, it there's always, you know, it's one of the fun things about, popping up. Whenever I put up a Derby video, or when a Derby hero passes, we've had a couple of passings in the last 6-8 weeks. People respond, "Oh, it's my favorite Derby, my best Derby." You get to celebrate and cling to it, and it's really a point well made. It's just funny how it transcends this race. I mean, it for all of us, it's the big build-up and so much of the season and the calendar points toward these 5 weeks. But this race that really puts the spurs to the racing calendar in the year, and it's always special. There's no bad derbies, as John Asher always would say.
I agree with that. The sad thing is with these people that are in the game and the people that are outside the game, and the first thing they ask them, "Hey, have you won the Derby?"
Always. That's right. That's right. Have you ever had a horse?
Once you have, it's like when Charlie won it for the first of two times. So he was so happy because he finally could get that monkey off his back. He could finally say, "Yes, I won it in '86. And I wanted an 89. But it took him.
Dick Powell, everybody.
Many years.
Dick.
Steve, be good.
I appreciate this. I will talk next week.
Enjoy Louisville.
Always. Dick Powell, everybody, HKJC Racing. Let's take the break here. We're going to try to keep the hours, three separate hours, a little easier to load the pods up that way. And when we come back, and in the next hour, Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale and Johnny D. You heard me right. Back after this to Churchill Downs.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick.
Experience the all-new Paddock Suite at Saratoga Racecourse. Available for groups of up to 80 guests. The venue features a climate-controlled lounge overlooking the Saratoga Paddock. Visit naira.com/Saratoga to book your group outing today.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo STEVE200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and